Psalter 170, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Praise waits for thee in Zion, all men shall worship there, and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer and what follows. Psalter 170, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 6, the verses 35 through 51. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 6, the verses 35 through 51. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves, and no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer in this day Mr. Tony Slingeland, who was privileged to return home from the hospital on Friday, and Mr. and Mrs. Harmon Leesink, who hope to commemorate this week their 55th wedding anniversary. Let us ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, the Creator and the Upholder of the heavens and of the earth, then on this wintry day, then thou wast yet granted the opportunity and the privilege, and so far that it was possible to come up to thy courts, then we have many reasons to acknowledge thee, where in the past week that thou wast graciously watched over us in the home, at work, on the way, at school, wherever we were called to be, and that for a people that transgresseth thy laws daily, that wearies thy patient long-suffering, and that abuseth thy precious gifts, then we have already sung together with the psalmist the blessings which thou wast promised in thy house, and the desire of the psalmist, our Lord, then he had to confess that his sins, they rose up against thee, and that they prevailed from day to day. And yet the psalmist, it was a soul that could not miss thee, and desired to come up to thy courts, oh, to pay his vows, and to receive a token of thy favor. Then the psalmist has declared, blessed is the man that thou choosest and drawest nigh unto thee. Lord, may it please thee, on the morning hour of another Sabbath day, that we may truly be humbled under thy goodness, and also a profound impression, another week has quickly run its course, a week which we can never do over again, a week of which we must give an account, and also for each and every one. It is one week closer to that final meeting with thee, and then we do well, also when we come up to thy house, that we examine our hearts. Ah, Lord, thou knowest how that we have come up to thy house. May it not have only been form and duty. May there have even been among the unconverted, that were deeply troubled and that have told thee in this morning, so many times gone up to thy house, so much dung laid around the tree of their life, and still so unconverted, that have asked thee, that this may be the day of thy sovereign good pleasure, that they may be wrought upon, Lord, for all those that have come up to thy house even without those thoughts. May it also be the time, may it be a service where thou worketh mightily, richly, irresistibly by thy free and sovereign grace. Thou knowest if thou doth not work, if thou leaveth us lie in our lost condition, then we are forever lost, and what shall it be to have to appear before thee with all our sins, Lord? May there have come up those souls in thy house, that have begged of thee for a blessing, even a crumb from the king's table, because for a people that has sinned everything away, then the smallest token becomes so eternally great. And, Lord, thou hast promised in thy word that for the thirsty and for the hungry ones, that they shall be fed with that bread of life. Wilt thou then be a surprising God? May matters take place in this morning and this day that avail you for the time, and that avail you for that never-ending eternity. Impress it upon all of our hearts that we need to come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son for the pardoning of our sins. May then thy kingdom come in the midst of us in a rich measure in this day, that sons and daughters among young and old, that they may be born in Zion. May it please thee to bless the proclamation of thy holy word to that end. Oh, remember thy church, and thou shalt remember thy church, because it is thy church, it is that chosen church, the church given to thy dear Son, a church wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. But the church upon this earth, it is the militant church, and the enemies are so great, they are so powerful. But, Lord, thou art the Almighty God, thou standest over everything, and may thy word then a free course, and that thy name may be glorified. We commend all unto thee, all the special needs. Then thou wast given unto a father after a serious surgery, that he was privileged to return to his dwelling in the midst of his dear ones. Wilt thou grant a broken and a humble heart, How wilt thou grant further strengthening and further healing, and above all things that this affliction may have come out of thy right hand to the saving of us never dying soul, because when thou afflicteth us, then we cannot remain the same, either a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. Wilt thou remember us, wife, the family circle? Then we commend unto thee all those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening. May their eyes be upon thee. We remember all the mourning ones in our midst. Ah, Lord, there are many. And may out of that mourning, may another mourning have been born, and may another mourning be born, and that is a mourning, all a mourning over our sins, over our transgressions, a sins of that missing thee, and that is worse than death. Lord, we commend unto thee all the elderly ones. Remember Bethesda, all the residents, all those that may lovingly care for them. May it please thee also in that place to pour out thy spirit in a richer measure upon young and old. Remember all the crosses. Remember all the burdens. Lord, remember the solemnity of the times. Then we commend unto thee our nation in these solemn and serious times. Ah, then it is so necessary that thou granteth unto our leaders, unto the inhabitants, unto the churches, the family circles, and each one personally, that we are given to repent, to receive a low place at thy footstool, as we read of a Daniel of old, where he was given to own the sin of the nation, where he has included himself, where he was given to confess no righteousness, given to beg for mercy and for forgiveness, Lord. As a country we have departed so far from thee, and in the midst of all the callings, so little acknowledgement of thee, that thou art the supreme ruler over the heavens and of the earth, so little mention of sin and guilt, and no asking for returning to thy word and to thy institutions, that in the solemn times, where our country in the past weeks have made laws that are so contrary to thy word and to thy institution, woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown has fallen from our head, Lord. We humbly ask thee, may the signs of the times, may they be used by thee, that we and our children, that we may be given to examine our hearts, turn from our worldly and evil ways, and that we may cry after thee, that thou may remember us in the time, the difficulties. We remember those that have lost their employment, but, Lord, we shall all come through this time, the one a little easier, the one with more difficulties, but may it be our concern how it is with our soul. May it then please thee to work lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of us and our children, Lord. Do remember us in this morning hour. Dwell richly amongst us. Grant the opening of thy precious word. Anoint us with fresh oil from above. Wilt thou open the hearts? Lord, may thy name be glorified. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Wilt thou yet grant that wrestling and that storming of the throne of grace, that thou may do a great work amongst us in dark and evil times. Ah, Lord, then it shall be so evident, and it is always thy work, but when thou worketh in dark times, then it is even more clear and evident. Lord, wilt thou so bless us with thy special presence? Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 416, the stanzas 3 and 5. O my soul, why art thou grieving? Why disquieted in me? Hope in God, thy faith retrieving. Let him still thy refuge be. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the disaster fund. Psalter 416, the stanzas 3 and 5. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then by renewal, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Our text words speak of the church given to Christ by the Father and no wise cast out. Three thoughts. First, the church given to Christ. Secondly, the church coming to Christ. And thirdly, the church received by Christ. Beloved congregation, we have heard 2 weeks ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, under discouraging circumstances, there has never been one, never shall be one, that has preached the word of life as the Lord Jesus Christ. He has confirmed his preaching by many miracles. He has fed 5,000 men without the women and the children from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they have asked for another sign. And then in the verse before, but I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. And then the Lord Jesus Christ was given to speak of that sovereign, that unchangeable predestination. That was the comfort that the Father has chosen a church, and that chosen church that would come to Christ by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. That is the only hope for us and our children. Oh, what a stumbling block it can be. And what a questions. Also, when the Lord begins, that those seeking souls, that they can be so attacked, also assaulted by the devil, that they are not one of them. And congregation, how shall we not know whether we are one of those chosen ones that is declared in our text, in our second thought, the church coming to Christ. Thus our first thought, that especially spoke of the work of the Father. In our second thought, speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit, not including the other two persons, because we read in our text, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Does not see in our text, congregation, that people is able, no. They are dead in sins and trespasses. Let us hold to that truth. And the Lord has a people upon the earth that learn how unable they are. Ah, the Lord has a church that learns that it is grace and grace alone, and that wonder only becomes different. That wonder only becomes greater because Paul has said to the church, and who maketh thee to differ? In our text, it does not even say may come to me. Ah, that is a truth, congregation. We may all come. The Lord, in his precious invitations, by giving the precious word unto us and our children, then he calls us all to come. But it does not say, even in our text, may come, although it is an absolute truth. Ah, let us say it this way, there are none. All may come, none by nature are willing and shall come, but now by the grace of God, and that is what our text speaks of, that church that they shall come, that is based upon a God that cannot lie. Where I read, oh, think of Isaiah 54, the verses 9 and 10, and this shall be as the waters of Noah unto me, where I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth. So I have sworn that I shall not rebuke thee, the hills shall depart, and the mountains be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from me, from thee, or the covenant shall not be removed from thee, saith the Lord, that of mercy, that is based upon the God of truth, who cannot lie. And to that end, we read in our text, shall come to me in verse 40, then it speaks further of that coming, and believeth on him. And now the question, congregation, let us try to say a few words. Oh, are there souls in my midst? Where that is now the question, what is it now to come to me? And how shall that church now come? We have many examples in the Bible. It is by the irresistible grace of God. In the first place, that church shall be drawn, where I read in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, that the Lord has loved this church with an everlasting love, and therefore with love he draweth that church. The Lord has a people that has experienced that drawing love, and that is such a sweet love, and then they become such a willing people. Then they are given to ask the Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Whatever it is, because that church learns that they must be saved. Then in the second place, then it is a church that is taught, because we read in verse 44 and 45, that is that drawn church, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. In this chapter, also in our text words, it begins with that word all. There shall not be one missing. That church in the moment of the Lord's good pleasure, then they shall be taught by the Spirit. Do we not read in John 16, the verses 8 through 10, and when he has come, he shall teach that church, he shall reprove them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Then the Spirit teaches them who the Lord is, holy and lifted up, just and righteous, but also so good doing. Then the Spirit teaches that church that they are lost, and in the further leadings that they can never save themselves. That is a church when they come, that they are given to confess what we have sung together out of Psalter 170, that sins rise up against us, that they prevail day by day. That church, when they come, When it is written, they come to me, that means congregation, that they come from a certain place. They come from their lost condition, because the Lord finds his people, not as seeking in truth and uprightness, still a blessing, when by the common goodness and the common workings of the Spirit, that we may still be busy with these things. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, have you now been a little restless in this past week and in this morning? That you have yet begged the Lord, that it may be the day of a sovereign good pleasure, that he may draw you by the cords of love. That he may teach you, that he may open your eyes, that it may become reality in this day, before it becomes reality at the end of our life, when it shall be forever and forever too late. There is a difference. The one the Lord draws from the slums of sin. But now the wonder that I read in Luke 15 verse 2. That the Pharisees have said, this man eateth with publicans and harlots. One other one he draws as a self-righteous Pharisee who thinks that he is not as bad as other people and has still that false hope that it shall be well. Another one he draws from the heights as that Zacchaeus, that he was too high, but that he had to come out of that tree. The Lord is so free and sovereign, but all that people, wherever they come from, wherever they are drawn, and they are willing to leave the past, because they learn that those are the paths of death, and that they need to be saved. Thus they are drawn by the cords of love. They are taught. The church shall learn. We love him because he has loved us first. That is declared in our text. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. The church, how do they come? They come with their sins, not in their sins. And now we must understand it rightly, what we mean, congregation, when we say that people come with their sins and not in their sins. Then you can understand, even our boys and girls can understand it, when we have experienced the bitterness of sin, and when we are drawn, and when we learn that we need to be saved, when we experience that we cannot save ourselves by our works, when we learn that the wages of sin is death, then it cannot be different for that people that come, that they shall not try to offend that precious Savior, that they shall not offend the Lord who was so holy and righteous. But then it shall be experienced, as I read in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, that godly sorrow that worketh repentance not to be repentance of. Then that people, they have learned. In this chapter, it speaks of a hungry and thirsty people. That people learn to mourn over their sins. That people become poor in spirit. That people, Matthew 5 verse 6, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. But when we have said congregation, not with their sin, but not in their sin, then that those coming souls, they learn that they are a sinner still. They learn what we have sung together. In the beginning, they hope to come as a wholly improved sinner. But now for the church to learn, to learn that their sins prevail day by day, that they have no power. In the further uncovering, not only that they do sin, but that they are nothing but a lump of sin, worthy to be cast into everlasting destruction, into the bottom of hell. That people are given to come with all their sins. They are given to come with a great stack of bills with their debt, and not a penny to pay. What a lesson that is, what a work the Spirit has to uncover those seeking sinners, that they may come as the chiefest of sinners. I have heard, sample for boys and girls, before they took pictures, then there were painters that painted pictures of people. And there was now a painter that one day, that he met a very shaggy beggar. Close, unshaving, and then the painter thought that would now be a nice picture for me to paint. And then he says, beggar, tomorrow you must come to my house so I can take a picture, paint a picture of you. And what do you think, boys and girls, that beggar has done? Then he has appeared the next day. Undoubtedly, he has went to a neighbor and asked for nicer clothes. And he has appeared before that painter very nice and very neat. Oh, I hope a few souls that understand it, that you say, that is now my picture, because I am so fearful, to come to the Lord as I am, that he must destroy me, that he must send me away, because I am so black and so vile, that have been so busy trying to improve. Oh, it is because I read in Galatians 5 verse 6 that faith worketh by love. But what a lesson, what a work the Spirit has. That sinner may come to that place, that they learn that they can never save themselves. So guilty, so hell worthy. But oh, we read, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. That people, they are given to come by faith, by hope. And now it is necessary, our text, that declares the necessity of the further leadings in the life of a child of God. Christ has said to his disciples in John 14 verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in me. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, are there souls that understand it, for whom God has become real? But now in our text, that precious Savior, he may be speaking. Oh, in our text, then he is fair than the children of men. And then surely, then grace is poured upon his lips. Oh, in our text, then when it is declared that they shall come, then they shall all come, whom have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. They shall be taught more and more. They come with those holy desires. Oh, may we be given to examine ourselves, young and old. What does our heart go out after? It does not mean that people have no trouble with that their soul, with Psalm 119 verse 25, that their soul cleaveth to the dust, but then that added petition, quicken me according to thy word. The Lord has a people that are given to first seek the kingdom of heaven. That has become the most important. That they are given to meditate upon those things, that they are given to tell the Lord, Lord, thou hast given me so many blessings in this time, privileged above most of the people upon the world, under the truth, and Lord, if I am not saved, if I am not washed of all my sins, then it shall all testify against me. But, Lord, thou knowest all my desire, as I read in Psalm 38, verse 9, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. That people, they have those desires after the living God, that they may receive the pardoning of their sins, that they may be reconciled, that they may experience that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Oh, that people come with those holy desires. Oh, even think of that Canaanitish woman in Matthew 15. Even to receive a little crumb the smallest token of the Lord's favor. Ah, that people have a desire that they may hear him speak as they read in Psalm 35 verse 3. I am thy salvation, young and old. Examine now your hearts, boys and girls, young and old. What are now our desires? In these serious and solemn times, oh, is the Lord not declaring to us that we must hasten for our life's sake, and we must come here in the time? Because if we do not come here in the time, then there shall be a time that the door shall be closed, and it shall be forever and forever too late. Ah, then that people, if we think of the context, when Christ speaks of that bread of life, then that people cometh hungering and thirstings after the living God. In Psalm 42 we read of the psalmist, as a hart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul, O God, for thee, the living God. Oh, we have heard it. We have sung it together. Oh, my soul, why art thou cast down and so disquieted in me? But hope thou in God. Ah, that people, notwithstanding all the riddles, all the questions, all the assaults, then that people is given to come with hope, because they have experienced that the Lord is such a merciful God, but they need the pardoning of their sins. Ah, then that people is given to come with their needs. Many a times the Lord also uses temporal needs and afflictions in the life of his people that they may be sanctified. We have many examples in the New Testament when Christ has walked upon the earth. Ah, that people, that they came with temporal needs and they became spiritual needs. Ah, that is a blessing. All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. Ah, then that people, that is given to come by that true saving faith, because they read in Hebrews 11 verse 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ah, when the Lord works, and especially in that beginning time, then how diligent they are, using the means of grace. Ah, they come unto him when they may bow their knees, when they may pour out their heart, when they may tell the Lord their desires, when they may say, Lord, I can miss everything, but I cannot miss thee. Ah, then that people, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Then they come to him in the way of prayer and confession. Ah, they come as poor beggars, that have nothing to plead upon anymore, that have forfeited everything. Ah, they come as promise breakers, as vow breakers, when they have made those precious vows. Ah, with a vehement desire that they would not grieve the Lord no more, but they come as vow breakers. Ah, they come with a confession of everything that is amiss. All that the Father hath given me, they shall come unto me. Ah, they come unto the Lord with all their riddles, because many a times the Lord leads his children in such mysterious ways. And that is in the first place in the way of grace. Oh, with those holy desires, and in their life hoping to become more holy, and by the further deeper uncovering of the Holy Spirit. Oh, for that people that may come, then if it is right to do less sin and to become a greater sinner in the eyes of a holy and a just God, ah, then they are given to tell the Lord those riddles. Then they experience what a Rebekah has said in Genesis 25, verse 22. Ah, with those twins that were struggling within her, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Ah, the Lord leads in such mysterious ways. But all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, that is to that precious Savior, but also riddles in the way of providence, where the Lord leads his people in such mysterious ways. Then that people come in the way of worship with a desire to bow before him, that he may be exalted to the highest. The people have a desire in that coming, if they may but have a little place at his footstool. All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. Then those souls, and then they come as those women, that sinner that we read in Luke 7. That she has found out in which house that Jesus was. It was in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And then for a long time, she has saved up her little bottle of ointment. The Lord has a people that are saving that bottle with their tears, with their love, with everything that is for the Lord. And then they think, if I may now come at his feet. If that people may only receive a place at his feet. That is their desire, that is their longing. And then they shall do as that woman that was a sinner. Then they shall wash the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ with their tears, and dry them with their long hair. And then they shall pour, then they shall anoint the Lord Jesus Christ in the way of a thank offering for his precious proclamation, and for that people that may come. The more they may learn, the more they may see of the beauty of the King, the greater desire they receive. What a precious text. That the Father hath given me. Does not say the most. Does not say some, but all. And now, who is now that people that come? That is declared in the Word of God. What a marks of grace. When we read the Psalms, the experience of the psalmist, when we read the leadings of the saints in the Bible, then how clearly it is declared, it is true, the Lord is free and sovereign, but all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. They have come under this same teacher, the Holy Spirit, which is sent forth by the Father and the Son. As that great prophet, then they are taught what they miss, what they need, and now it is necessary. The more they may learn of that Savior, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. And now concerning that coming, we have many examples in the Bible. The one the Lord leadeth in a deeper way than in other, but they all learn the same thing. They all learn that they are sinners. They all learn that they are the chiefest of sinners. They all shall learn the impossibility to save themselves, with their reformation and with their tears. A guilty sinner still. But now in the scripture, we have many different examples. We have those that were led, we would say, in a more gradual way. But they were given to walk in the tender fear of the Lord. Think of a Joseph. Think of a Samuel who feared the Lord from his youth. Think of an Obadiah when he was given to tell Elijah that he was given to fear the Lord from his youth. Think of a Daniel and those three friends, a Timothy. But they have all learned the same thing. All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, it is true. When the Lord grants that tender fear of the Lord, and what a blessing that is, boys and girls, that what you must ask for, that the Lord may take early possession of your heart, for that people that do not even know a former life, that do not have to grieve of that unconverted state, that many times that people can be troubled when they hear of those that have been wrought upon so powerfully, but for also them, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. Those souls shall learn that they are saved by free and sovereign grace. Oh, then in other ones in the scripture, of Manasseh, that is filled Jerusalem with the blood of the saints of the Lord. Oh, think of a Paul in the way of self-righteousness thought that he was serving the Lord, doing the Lord a favor when he has persecuted the church. In Acts 16, there we have two different ones. For a Lydia, it is written that she opened her heart, that she attended unto the things spoken by Paul. But now for a jailer, then the Lord is used in earthquake, and he was given to tremble. But all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. The church shall learn that it is free in sovereign grace. The true child of God shall learn the drawing love of the Father. All concerning that coming, what a precious invitations. Oh, are there now a few guilty sinners in my midst? Oh, that in this week, that you have found secret places, that you have told the Lord your desire, your need. Oh, then is our text, is it not implied also the precious invitations for that guilty people? Think of Isaiah 45 verse 22. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. For thirsty and hungry ones. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come unto me, and buy wine and milk. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. That precious invitation. In Matthew 11 verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. What precious invitations for those hungry and thirsty ones. And that is all implied in our text. All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. But oh, now I hear a soul say, but may I now come as I am? Oh, there can be souls that are struggling. Is my knowledge now of sin, is that now deep enough? Because I have read of people in scriptures that it seems that my knowledge is not as deep as theirs. Am I humble enough? Am I unworthy enough? Oh, are there souls that are struggling with those matters? Oh, in our text, then it does not say, shall come unto me. It is true. We have read verse 44 and 45. They shall all be taught of the Lord. But it does not declare the depth, but it shall be true. Because if we have never become a sinner, what must we then do with that precious Jesus? No, then we shall not come. Then we shall still trust. Whatever it may be, it can be so many things. Oh, what precious invitations in the Word of God. All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. And then maybe another soul says, but such a one as I am, shall I then be accepted? Shall I not be sent away? Made myself so worthy that the Lord will never show mercy. Shall I then receive the desire of my heart? May the need become so great. Think of an Esther in Esther 4. When Mordecai said that she must go to the king, and then she has sent that messenger, that servant back, that no one may come to the king except called. Except he shall stretch forth that golden scepter. And I have not been called for 30 days. Oh, thirsting and hungry ones, that you cannot say. The Lord calls every day. that when the word of God may be opened, when you may come up to God's house, and then the Lord calls and souls, then you cannot deny that there are times that you find your life declared in the God, in the word of God, that you are given to tell the Lord, Lord, if those are now the marks of grace, then I may believe, then I cannot deny that thou hast wrought wonderfully in me. But, O Lord, my sins, my sins. But now concerning that question, that is also answered in our text, because we read, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 398. Well, let us only sing the first stanza. The Lord upholds the faltering feet and makes the weak securely stand. The burdened ones bow down with grief are helped by his most gracious hand. And what follows, Psalter 398, only the first stanza. the church given to Christ by the Father, in no wise cast out. The church given to Christ, the church coming to Christ, and now thirdly, the church received by Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Our text speaks in the negative and implies the positive. That word cast out, that is a very powerful word, a strong word. It means to expel, drive out, send away, to drive away. That word is used in Matthew 7, verse 22, to cast out devils, and also in Matthew 8, verse 12, for the unconverted, the unbelieving, to be cast out into outer darkness. And for the true children of God, all their riddles, with all their sins, it shall be experienced even in the beginning, when they may come at the throne of grace, when they may come to the Word of God, that they have experienced those sweet and those precious moments, experience a certain peace, and even though with all their riddles and with all their sins, still they have experienced already the truth of this text, and that grants them courage to continue. They experience also to become a beggar and to remain a beggar. That is also the work of the Holy Spirit. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those covenant shells, and it cannot be, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one. And now when a poor sinner, one may come to the Lord Jesus Christ at his feet, then that Savior, then he may see the gift which he has received from the Father upon his meritorial work. Then the Savior may see before him, that is his delight, may see the precious, loving, and irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, where Christ pours out those heavenly graces, as we read in our Heidelberg Catechism, and that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and from the Son. Then the Savior is given to see a reflection of his own image, because when the Lord works, I read in Romans 8, verse 29, that they become conformable to the image of a Son. Then Christ may see before him when they come, then he may see his Lamb his sheep, his child. He may see his black bride for whom he is hung on the cross and shed his precious blood. He has paid such a great dowry that his bride may be saved. Do we not read in the Song of Solomon, 2 verse 14, O my dove, that people learn what it is to be a mourning dove. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, the secret places of the stairs. Let me hear thy voice and see thy countenance, for thy voice is sweet and thy countenance is comely. Then the Savior is given to rejoice by that precious work of the Spirit. A sinner that has learned, with all their efforts, a sinner still. A sinner that has learned the depth and beginning and the preciousness of that little word, grace. And that for such a sinner as I am, then we read, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Then we could speak of precious things, never to be cast out of his love, his compassion, his thoughts, his care, provision, protection. Oh, it is true. In the depths, then sometimes Zion speaks unadvisably. That is a Zion that cannot rest on experience, but that is a Zion that needs to experience favor, communion, and to hear the Savior speak, because let us also add that we read in 1 Kings 20 a warfare between Israel and Syria, between King Ahab and Ben-Hadad. And then we read that Israel has gained a victory, and that the king with the Syrians came into the city of Aphek. The walls have fallen down, many killed. And then the king with soldiers, that they have come in chambers, and in the original it means from chamber to chamber. And the Lord has a people that knows what it is when they can find no rest for their soul. But then the servants have said to the king, we have heard that the kings of Israel are merciful kings, and therefore they have went with sackcloth, we would say dressed in black, with a noose around their neck. And they have went to the king of Israel. And then it is specifically mentioned that they have hastily caught on to the words. They have listened intently whether they could catch a word that the king would speak in their favor. And then King Ahab said, is my brother still alive? And they have caught on to that word. Oh, what a picture of that people that may come and that shall come, to come at his feet, to never be cast out. Thoughts, care, compassion, love of that precious Savior. Hungering and thirsty souls, what think ye of our text? Is that not a precious text? Is it not an encouraging text? Is it not an inviting text? What precious promises for those seeking and those coming souls, with all their fears, with their sins, with their debts, in no wise never cast out. Then may I ask you, we read in Jeremiah 8 verse 22, is there no balsam in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why is the health of the daughter of my people, why is it not healed? And therefore, what a precious word for those hungering and thirsty ones to come. And because the Lord does try the faith of his people, try their sincerity, many times questions ask what in examples we have in the New Testament. Think of that Canaanitish woman that has come with such an unbearable need. How she was tested, but then that woman, she was given to listen intently concerning the words of Jesus, and then she was given to plead. Can be at times that there is a soul that comes before the Lord with their finger on a text. Says, Lord, hast thou not spoken it? Hast thou not promised it? That they are given to plead, that Canaanitish woman, and says, yet, Lord, those dogs, they eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then our text words, they are confirmed in so many places, hungering and thirsty souls. Is there not one example of one that has come with their sins, with their needs and desires, and that has been cast out, not one? Our text words, they also speak of the perseverance of the saints, because that people, they come each time by renewal. And there are special times that they need to come, special needs, in a way of backsliding. Oh, think of a David. He was one when he has sinned with Bathsheba, killed Uriah, that he has sinned everything away, ruined everything, unworthy. He was one worthy to be cast out. But then Psalm 32, Psalm 51, against thee, thee, have I sinned and done evil, what was evil in thy sight. Wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Oh, think of a Peter that has received so much and has denied that precious Savior three times. But Jesus has looked. Ah, that was a look of love to come. And Peter was given to repent. Then in the context, when we read verse 39, in no wise cast out all our text. What a proof that the Arminian is completely wrong, unbiblical. Because we read in verse 39, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. John 10, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Thus, our text words in the context speaks clearly of the perseverance of the saints, no falling out of grace, because I read for that people that speaks unadvisably was Zion in Isaiah 49 verse 14, the Lord hath forsaken and forgotten me. I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hand, and thy walls, they are continually before me. I will in no wise cast out. Then we read in verse 39 and verse 40 of that last day. Then we read in verse 40 of that blessed people, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Oh, at the end, the Lord shall take them all home, not one missing. And then, that people may have a little beginning here below. Also in that coming, a desire that he may be honored and glorified. In eternity it shall be perfection. In no wise cast out. But my unconverted fellow travelers, oh, our text, it still calls you to come. May you come on your knees and beg the Lord for that loving, that irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, that you may also be those coming ones, boys and girls, young people. May you come early, middle-aged, much if your life is already gone, but still the calling to come for the elderly, then haste is necessary, because if we do not come, those invitations, they shall not last forever. And what shall it be when we must die unconverted, and at the last day to stand on the left hand, and when that Savior, he shall be judge, then he shall say to you, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. We must close. We read when Christ has spoken of those wonderful things, not a truth according to our flesh, but a precious truth for the saving of the church, that there were many that walked no more with him. And then Christ said to the disciples, will ye also go away? And then of Peter, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, We have heard of profound and precious things, and who was able to declare the riches thereof, but, oh Lord, may it have fallen in different hearts for those thirsty and hungry ones. Lord, magnify thy free and sovereign grace in the midst of us and our children. Arouse to a holy jealousy where the unconverted, they are still under thy wrath, but thou art still gathering thy church. Remember on this Sabbath day, wilt thou keep us over the unsafe roads. Remember man and beast with the snow and with the cold. Wilt thou grant in the midst of the family circles that there may be freedom to speak of those things. Ah, Lord, may in this day, may sinners come by the first time and also by renewal. Gather us together by renewal in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 420, the second stanza. But let the righteous blessed of yore joy in their God as never before face victory achieving and what follows. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Jeremy Paul Grisnick and Anika Catherine Swadball. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, February 25 at 10:30 a.m. with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. And there will be no catechism classes tomorrow evening. Psalter 420, the second stanza. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.